Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, ladies, welcome to Women Lead Radio. Shanri, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. Can you not hear me?
No,
and your show has started, my dear.
Well, I was just.
We're going to go rogue today.
I was just giving Susie's pitch and talking about how great she was. So I'm so sorry that you didn't hear any of that. So if you'll bear with me, I would love to start over.
Yes, please.
Beautiful. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Shanri Torrey. I'd like to welcome you to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. And I am your grateful host for today for our show, Business is Personal. And today's topic is the get is in the give. And my leading lady today, I'm so thrilled that she's here. I've been wanting to have her on this show for a very long time, is Susie Clifton, who is a very dear friend of mine. She is the founder of Sue's Garden, and I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that. She's also the co-founder of a family-owned and run Goodyear business that she runs with her husband and her kids. And gosh, I think she's been doing that for about, 35 years. It's a legacy business, and Susie will certainly tell you more about that as we get into the show. But Susie, welcome to the show. I'm so grateful to have you here today. So thank you for being with us.
You're so welcome. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. I'm glad that you're here. I think I'm still like recouping a little bit from that false start, but we're all here together, and I'm super grateful. And I would really love, Susie, to just dive into this really important topic. It's definitely it's a very big topic for me. It's a priority for me, this whole idea of the get is in the give, and especially right now. And for any of you that are listening to this, if we are all back in business and the coronavirus is passed, just so you get a point of reference, we are in the midst of this global pandemic. Everybody is on lockdown. The country feels a little bit like it's on fire. And here Susie and I are talking about the get is in the give. So the timing certainly feels appropriate to me. I think that there is a lot to be thankful for. I think the opportunities are, they may not be right at the surface, but if you just do a little bit of mining, there's some pretty incredible opportunities there to birth some new ideas and ways that we can all give back to ourselves and to one another. So with that, Susie, I'd really love to ask you, what has your experience been with this concept or this notion of the get is in the give, and how does that show up for you in your life and your work, in the way that you practice business? I'd love to get your thoughts on this. And I want to just give a quick caveat, and that is that I know that there are a lot of people, we've all heard them say, it's not personal, it's just business. And this conversation and this show is about taking that idea and turning it upside down. So Susie, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, sure. I have a lot of thoughts on that subject. It takes me back to when I first started working my family business, which is in the automotive industry, and I started, my father-in-law was a founder, and he invited my husband and I to join him in the family business, and so he mentored me, and he was of the mindset of don't be a nice guy, you know, don't be a schmuck, don't give the store away. And he kind of came from that mentality. Wherever he got that from, he was passing it on to us. And that never sat well with me for some reason, nor my husband. And in all the years since we've taken over, since he retired, he kind of would even notice how we were doing the business and how we were always trying to be on the up and up, honest pricing, fair pricing, going above and beyond for our customers, our clientele. And sometimes he would tell us, you guys are too nice. But there's a lot to be said for that. So it does have a lot to do with now how I view customer relationships in the business. And as you said, business is personal and in my life. And recently, I was listening to one of my favorite speakers, Brené Brown, listening to one of her TED Talks. And yes, and she nonchalantly mentioned this book that she was enjoying. And of course, she talks about vulnerability and how that's very powerful. And the book she mentioned was called Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success by Adam Grant. And I thought, I've got to check out this book. It just really caught my attention. And so I've had it for a while, and I haven't read the whole thing through, but I've hopped around in it. You know how we do that. I've hopped around in different pages and chapters. And I just really love the stories and the situations, examples of some very, very powerful people in history, powerful people currently, and how there are givers and there are takers and the difference between them. Just some of the subject matter is the dangers and rewards of giving more than you get, how givers, takers, and matchers build networks. So it's based around business strategies and how to be strategic and how to be strategic in giving and when is it too much. So I've really learned a lot from this book, and I'm enjoying it. And then trying to shift and apply it in my own business. It's a couple of things we've done that I can think of. And, of course, they can be really small things, or they can be, you know, you can become this huge philanthropist, you know, and, of course, as you said, during this pandemic, it's huge right now, right? I mean, people are just giving and giving and giving, which is a beautiful thing. But at the same time, you know, you got to take care of number one, right, sometimes. So it's interesting. There's a balance in there.
You know, Susie, it's so interesting to me. Like the way that you just framed that, you said, you know, well, we have to take care of number one. And then you said sometimes. And we were talking about this on another show that I was hosting yesterday. And it was this idea, I think it was on the 6 o'clock show or gathering. And we were talking about this, which has come up a lot, especially with other women, that we do this thing of prefacing, or that we kind of counter correct or course correct after we've said something. And the truth of the matter is that how liberating would it be if we could just say, you have to take care of number one, period. Right? Instead of this idea that we have to take care of number one sometimes, but looking at it from the perspective of if we take care of ourselves, if we make taking care of ourselves the priority, then we have more to give. Right? But there's like been this really interesting connotation, I feel, with us even declaring that. And on the threshold yesterday, we were talking about cultivating courage and other superpowers. And so part of the exercise was asking people to share what really makes them great. And I think being a giver is a pretty great thing. And I would like to think that when we really master the art of giving, which I think could be like, I mean, we could do a whole workshop around that, Susie.
Right.
Michelle,
right.
If you're listening, Michelle Berkowitz, if you're listening, we should do a workshop on that. But the art of giving, right? But also really making it not only okay, but a standard to give to ourselves. so that we have more to give. And I know you, Susie, and I know that you are very generous in business. And I know that especially with the family business that you are now running, that there is this philosophy and this integrity, and it just, it really comes through so loud and clear. And I love that you are modeling that so beautifully.
Thank you. Yes, I don't think a business lasts, and we've been around for over 45 years, if you don't have a giving spirit and a generosity. And I'll tell you some of the little things we've done. We've shuttled our elderly customers home and picked up their vehicles and different things like that, taken and the extra step to just do little things like that to help. They add up. We live and work in the same community where we see our customers when we're out and about, when we have the freedom to be out and about. But we'll be, you know, in the grocery store and you know, our customers are there and they're happy to see us. And we want that. We don't want them to throw tomatoes at us, you know, like, hey, like you didn't give us good service, you know. But it's a lot to be said for, you know, running a family business, a small business in a community. Giving is huge, and it goes a long way. One of the examples in this book, I'd love to just kind of give you a quick, just a little bit about it. It's my favorite
Please.
One so far that I've read. It's about, and it'll just kind of give you, it'll just in a nutshell wrap it up, what we're trying to say. There's this example of this young man. He's a young politician, and when he sees that his opponent is better qualified for the job at hand, he literally has just, you know, said, "You got it." He bowed out of the election, and he did that in his career a couple times over, which this caused it created some enemies. It also created some critics, heavy critics of this person. And through his career, he stayed the course. He stayed steady in his beliefs and in what he was doing. And he was always a giver. And ultimately, these people who were his critics and who were his kind, like literally enemies, started to admire this person, started to look at this man as someone with dignity, someone to be respected. And in the long run, he stayed the course of his career. And this person, lo and behold, is Abraham Lincoln, who was, of course, became one of our most beloved presidents. So I just loved
Wow.
that story of this, right? Like what? He gave and gave and ended up, you know, these men who were his critics and who were his naysayers became his most trusted, his cabinet, some of his officials in his presidency. So I really love that story. It also talks about some of the takers. It talks about Ken Lay of Enron, and we all know that story.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and then some not so well known famous CEOs, and that talks about Richard Branson, who before he was even famous was a giver. He started an organization, a nonprofit for students in medical, giving the medical services. So really interesting stories in here, ones you probably never heard of about some of these people. So it's a really good read, and I'm learning a lot from it. I'm learning and also how to be strategic because, you know, it's true. If you do give too much away, it loses some value. So
Absolutely.
I'm enjoying
and
it.
I'm so,
yeah.
And I'm so glad that you brought up my boyfriend, Richard Branson. Thank you for
I
that.
I know. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, man, I have such a crush on him. Sorry, ladies, I digress a little bit. But no, you're right, Susie, and I love so much that you shared that story. And, oh, God, and I, you know, I'm sure if I was back in the day, I would have had a huge crush on Abraham Lincoln, too. So, yeah, I mean, that is just... It is very attractive. Yeah, that is a sexy
mm-hmm.
quality for sure. Maybe we should tell some people in our government and in politics how sexy generosity is. I don't know, maybe it could change the tide a little bit, but for today, we will focus on saving the world tomorrow, but today we'll focus on our conversation today. But Susie, I'd love to know if you have an example, and if you don't, that's totally fine, but I'd love to know if you have an example when you've had that experience of being overly generous and where it just felt like, gosh, this sounded like it was the right thing to do in the beginning, but we went way off the mark and we really overdid it. And I just would like to know if you could speak a little bit to the shadow side of overgiving.
What's coming to me there is definitely, I can think of some situations in my floor preservation business where I've underestimated my costs and my margins. So that, of course, taught me lessons on, you know, get really clear on those. Because once the sale was made, you know, when you go back and you do the math, you're sitting there thinking, uh-oh, all this. And then, you know, it's always with that worst customer, right? That's just pain, a PTA.
Of course.
And you're like trying to give and be, and, you know, and the same thing at the auto shop. It, you know, where you're trying to just please someone, please them and give and meet them in the middle and make them happy, where, you know, and then you look back and it's like, was it worth it? You know, and you know that one person, that customer, they don't care. They're not going to come back anyway. So definitely, yeah, that's what's coming to me on that whole front. And then also on the other hand, what came up for me as well is, I have a friend, a colleague who he's a businessman, and you know, when you think of giving and then takers, some of takers are big givers. They do give, but the difference is they give expecting to get something back. They're giving in a big way because they expect to be given back either in the same amount or more. And I've seen this happen as well, and that's really dangerous. And I've seen him throughout his career in business be this way, and it hasn't worked out for him. I think you lose something in that exchange.
Susie, I'm so glad that you said that, because when I was poking around a little bit and just looking to see what came up on this topic. What I think is interesting is that when I put in the get is in the give, nothing came up except give and take. And if you know, in order to get, you have to give. And it really struck a negative chord with me in the sense of, and I'm so thank you for bringing that to this conversation, because that's something I really want to emphasize, that what we are talking about, the thesis of that idea, that the get is in the give, is not a manipulative strategy, right? And that's what I found, was a lot of like, hey, like, you want to know the secret? Like, wink, wink, if you want to get more, you have to give more. And it just like had this weird undertone of being sneaky. Like, hey, like, you know, like it wasn't forthright, and it didn't feel, and I didn't spend like hours and hours reading every article, but I just thought it was interesting that that was the chord that it struck with me, why I think, going back to what you said at the very beginning, Susie, about, you know, taking care of number one, giving to yourself as much as you would give to someone else, is really a beautiful concept, and I think something that women specifically really need to work on to not feel guilty about. And I'll share with you really quickly, I was hosting a Desire Map workshop, and I'm trying to remember if you were at that workshop or not, but I was bringing up this idea of wanting, of really genuinely wholeheartedly wanting what you want for yourself. And someone in the workshop said, well, you know, wasn't Eckhart Tolle, Bob Proctor, I think it was, or Wayne Dyer, she said, well, you know, Wayne Dyer said that you should want more for others than you do for yourself. And it was really interesting because she and I kind of locked horns over this because I said, you know what, like serious props and respect to Wayne Dyer, but I could not disagree with that more. Because me wanting for myself does not diminish or dull my desire for other people to have magnificent things or to be on stage or to take the spotlight or to potentially even beat me in a competition or win a deal that we're both going up against. I can lose something that I'm really wanting for or a negotiation that I'm trying to get. I can lose that to someone else and be sad for myself, but at the same time simultaneously be really happy for them. And I think that that is also part of this giving conversation. Like, and I don't think it's about being a martyr, and I don't think it's about false modesty, but I think that there is this tendency, again, I think it tends to be more with women where like we have, like that's kind of been implanted. Like we should want more for others than we want for ourselves. Why? Why can't we want just as much for someone as we want for ourselves? So your story reminded me of that a little bit. And like I said, like we really locked horns on this. And especially because I wanted to drive home the emphasis that I wanted all of these women in this workshop to want what they want with all of their heart. Does that
make
sense?
Total sense. I mean, it's almost an oxymoron, right? I mean, how are you supposed to want more for others when you don't want it for yourself? I mean, and yeah, I think it's an old-fashioned belief, and you're right. It's more in women. I can remember my mother. You know, I think of my mother when you say that.
Yeah.
It's like she was, you know, it's like she was always, you know, and giving to everybody
right.
else and not herself, which for some reason, I took note of that and didn't buy into it. So thankfully, I just thought, you know, it didn't sound right to me. That's not the way it should be. And it's not because it's not healthy. It's not healthy. I think when you do that, you build resentment within yourself. You resent what others have maybe sometimes. So I think it's so much more healthier, as you say, to even if you don't get what you want and you see someone else getting what they want and what they need and being happy for them. That's beautiful. That's a huge gift right there.
I totally agree, honey. And, you know, I'm reading this other book called How to Be an Artist by Jerry Phelps, and he talks in his book about making an enemy of envy. And this was part of a conversation that we had 2 weeks ago. And someone on the call said, you know, what I think would be really great is if we were curious about envy. And I know what Jerry was saying. He was saying make an enemy of envy because it only hurts yourself. That when we are coveting or envious of what somebody else is doing or that they got the deal or they, you know, got the speaking gig or they got the book published or what have you, that when we are envious, it only hurts ourselves. And so he, you know, I really love the perspective that he was coming from on that. Make an enemy of envy. But this woman on the call said, and what if we also added be curious about envy, right? So I think that it's a really great opportunity and an incredible indicator if we are having that sense of envy, if we're having that experience, to ask ourselves a few questions like, why do I feel envious? Is it because I don't think I could ever have that? Is that actually something that I've always wanted and I've never dared say out loud? You know, it's like giving ourselves permission
yeah.
to kind of poke around at it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I thought Oh, go ahead, honey, please.
No, when you said that, I just, you know, it takes me back to what you teach, you know, in your Desire Map workshops, what I've learned, and it's the feeling of it, right? You feel what you feel. I mean, and we've all felt that before.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of my, I was talking to someone about this experience of, you know, overgiving and giving – which I think that we have all probably had our version of this, but where we're giving because we're hoping for a certain outcome, right? So our sensibility tends to like get a little blurry, our boundaries get a little blurry, the reason that mm-hmm. we are giving gets a little bit blurry.
Yeah, and a little desperate.
She said something. Yes, thank you, exactly. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, she said, this has been my experience. She said, overgiving is not a sign of generosity. It's a sign of insecurity. So she wasn't talking about giving. She was talking about overgiving when it is detrimental to us because we either don't have the energy for it, it's costing us way too much money. The risk and the cost is just too high. And I think that that's also another way that we can be sure that we are giving is by asking, is this really good for me? Because Susie, you and I know this to be true. If it's not good for you, it's probably not good for the person who we're trying to do the giving with.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
You know?
Yeah, if you want to see the most perfect example, beautiful example of what we're talking about, the get is in the give, just go back to our old favorite Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, right? Where our beloved George Bailey, the giver, and the mean Mr. Potter, the taker. Classic example of, you know, this man who just went above and beyond for his clients at his, you know, savings and loan and did what he could. And then this, you know, this big CEO of a big bank, you know, is just telling him you're an idiot, you're not being smart. But then look what happens, you know, at the end where when he's really desperate and in need. That's the point of all of this. I mean, bring it home with the bigger picture of the get is in the give and is a bigger picture. Sometimes it takes that time. Sometimes it takes a career to be Abraham Lincoln. But you are building an empire of, you know, people that are going to rally for you. And look at what's happening now. I mean, I have been posting on Facebook and LinkedIn. I haven't really used LinkedIn, but I'm using it now to show what we're doing at my auto shop. We're open. Hello. It's time to come and be It's a Wonderful Life for us. All of the years, of giving and doing what we've done to be honest and fair, you know, I'm just banking on that. I mean, that it's going to pay off and work out and holding space that we get our relief money. So there we
That's
go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Susie, I hope that you and your loved ones and my loved ones and those in our immediate circle and everybody that truly needs it have their George Bailey moment sooner than later. I really do. And
Amen.
Susie, believe it or not, we are at that time, and I think that the note of George Bailey is the perfect note to go out on, and I can't thank you enough so much for being my guest today, and I would love, love, love to continue this conversation with you on another platform on another day. So, Susie, we've got about 30 seconds. Would you mind letting them know how they can get a hold of you?
Yes, absolutely. If you need an honest mechanic and some auto service or tires, it's westcountygoodyear.com. My email is susie@westcountygoodyear.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you in the future have an event with special occasion flowers and would like to preserve them, you can reach me at the same place and we can take care of it that way. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much for being here. And Women Lead Radio will be back again very soon. We're here every Monday at 9 and every Friday at 2. And I so hope that you will come back and join us for another great show with another great host and another incredible leading lady. And I would like to leave you with this. It is one of my all-time favorite quotes by Rick Lentz. And I'm going to tell it to you right now. Those who say it's not personal, it's just business, are lying. All business is personal, and the best business is very personal. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope you'll join us again soon.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence. the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.